Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Are you feeling better?
I'm feeling bunged up. I've got a lot of coughs
and
in me.
And you are coughing my cough face at the moment. There's a lot of coughs in this show. I'm just going to warn you, listeners.
Sorry, guys. I do try and turn away from the microphone. Mm. But you're all in a post-Charlton Doncaster second leg world right now.
Well
I do not know.
I've got something for you that one, mate. Someone actually did email in about Doncaster versus Charlton. So advice for you. So I'm going to read that to you now. It says, hi.
Because this is, we're recording this on Friday.
Yeah.
The big match is tonight.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. So
this comes in from Jamie, who says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, etc. This email is mainly for Ollie, but as he doesn't look at his emails, I thought I'd send it to you.
Good call.
I'm a Doncaster Rovers season ticket holder, so I marked out when you mentioned my local team on the podcast.
We will crush you, Doncaster.
I thought I would email in to give Ollie some information about the state of the tie heading into the second leg.
This is good. Tell her to take me.
The first leg was on Sunday, and the atmosphere was fantastic. However, we lost 2-1, so that's obviously good for you.
I'm aware. Yeah.
The first goal...
Good for Lenin's Red Army.
Yeah, and you can have this chat when you're in the sort of pub beforehand, so remember this.
What, just tell them the scores that
know? No, wait. The first goal was offside, as shown on the replays after the game, but the linesman didn't keep up with play, so he missed it.
Wait, who scored first, though? Doncaster or Charlton?
The first goal.
I imagine it would be the team that isn't his.
Yeah, so maybe it's Charlton.
He's pointing that out.
So that's another thing you can bring up in the pub. Just say the first goal.
You know, and what? We're not even drinking because we're driving straight after.
Oh, of course, yeah, because you've got to go
We're expressing solidarity with the driver.
Yeah. The second goal, on the other hand, was very bad defending on our part, leading to a 2-0 disadvantage at halftime. So, yeah,
right.
It was a Charlton thing. So, good. Glad we got that cleared up. And the second half, we controlled the game and scored with a couple of minutes left to make it 2-1. So, all to play for in the second leg. Sorry for the email. Hope you enjoy the game, Ollie. And come on the Rovers. Lots of love from Duncan. Jamie J.
So from what I know about how these things work, because Charlton scored 2 goals away, that actually counts as 4 goals.
Yeah, or 3. I think
counts as 4 goals. So the actual score is 4-1 right now.
I thought it was only 3. I thought it was just the away goal rule.
But if you score a goal at home, it's actually worth -3 goals. So you don't want to score at home. You want to keep clean sheets at home, and you want to score away.
And when do you get a home run?
You get a home run in extra time multi-ball.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, sweet. Yeah. Love a multi-ball.
And then they just fire about 50 footballs onto the pitch. And whoever hoofs one... you've got to clear the pitch of the 50 balls.
Yeah, yeah.
So all 22 people. And whoever hoofs it the furthest wins. But if you hoof it out the stadium, you win the league.
Oh, okay. And lastly, we read out part of this email from Brock in his 80% facts, but it was a little PS for you. It says, Ollie, as a night shift worker, I'm a fellow user of melatonin supplements due to my sleep schedule not allowing me to generate melatonin properly. Without supplement, I wouldn't be able to function properly on a daily basis.
Nice. That reminds me of the Tony Stark to Peter Parker line. You know, but I'm nothing without this suit. Then you shouldn't be wearing it.
Suit. It's a homecoming reference if you need that one.
I think I'm going to be using the melatonin a lot if we're doing live streams on the reg now.
Oh yeah, we've got a lot coming up as well. Let's have this quick email in from Dylan before we get into the main show, because it's a Get Better story. It says, hello, Luke, Ollie, El Fagador, and a big, massive, humongous hello to my cousin Alex, who also listens to this podcast.
Hi, Alex.
Don't think I left anyone out there. My story started back in 2017. My grandfather passed away after a four-year battle with Parkinson's disease. I took the death extremely bad, because not only was my grandfather my father figure in life, we were best friends and shared a passion for football and professional wrestling that brought us even closer. I started drinking excessively and developed other addiction problems along the way in time after his passing. Things really came to a head 7 months ago. I was let go from a very, very good job. 7 days after, they told me I was getting a new contract. I had a very messy falling out with a girl I went to school with, which I was 100% in the wrong for, and ended up losing a lot of my friends because of my behavior. I was treating the people closest to me horrendously, and I felt like I'd reached the end of the road in my life. I spent a small amount of time in a mental hospital, and I can safely say, without having Wrestle Ramble to listen to while I was in my ward, the days would have been near as easy to get through. Here I am 7 months later. I've regained the friendships that I have lost. I have the best paying job I've ever had, and I've been stone cold sober ever since. I'll never be able to thank you all at WrestleTalk enough for the entertainment you've given me throughout some of the toughest days of my life. I became a $25 backer this month just as a way to show you a small amount of my appreciation. Peace out, lads. Much love, Dylan from Cork.
Oh, well done,
love
Dylan.
And a congratulations to you, my friend.
And that, from what I got from that, that was all us. You didn't have any stake in your comeback there. That was all us. Was so, all yeah, you're
you.
Welcome.
It was all you, Dylan.
No, well done, Dylan.
Absolutely. Well done.
That
done
is
indeed.
A hot tag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like a hot tag of a comeback. Worked over for a long time.
It's like a proper Roman Reigns as well. Yeah, 90%.
Well done,
that big
Dylan.
Old Superman punch comeback. Anyway, we're going to be talking about AEW's TV deal now. Here's the show.
Where, as expected, it was announced on Wednesday of this week that AEW would be going to TNT.
Out of the t-shirt business, and they're becoming a wrestling company, it would seem.
They grow up so fast. And of course, this is huge. This is huge not just for wrestling, like for the company itself, AEW, who are an unproven... They haven't even run their first official show yet.
They are a fledgling company.
Yeah, I know we've had All In, but All In, it's kind of a prologue, really. It's not actually All Elite Wrestling.
It's like an ROH New Japan show. I mean, well, they did it in connection with Cody and the Bucks. They arranged it, but then worked with Ring of Honor and New Japan to kind of like put it all together.
It was a Being the Elite show,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, absolutely.
With help from, like you said, ROH and New Japan.
But from that, that's when Khan got involved. And they were like, oh, actually, maybe we can do something with this. We'll do some more shows like this. And All Elite Wrestling was born. So we are heading towards their first official show next Saturday, Double or Nothing.
I can't wait. We'll be live streaming it, of course. So come here and check it out and watch it along with us.
Yeah.
Because watching people watch something is a thing.
Also, we weren't booked for StarCast, so we can go to the event.
Yes, yeah. But there's been, of course, there was the press release that AEW and TNT put out themselves. And we covered that a lot on Wednesday, when we went through the statement in that breaking news episode. We'll go over a few bits again here, but also we've had the Wrestling Observer newsletter with all, and I think someone else, something McCullen from a news website as well, a sports journalist, like a, not a wrestling news website, but a sports news website. Mm. Yeah, big
because
time.
They are going for a more sport-orientated product.
Exactly. And that's like the more nitty-gritty specifics of the deal. Which I thought, you know, okay, let's see how the actual deal looks behind the scenes. Still seems to be very positive.
Yeah, I think one of the more incredible things about it is that TNT are kind of paying the production costs, which WWE don't get that deal. They pay their own production costs.
Well, it costs
around $1 million an episode, I believe.
It's a double-edged sword, that is. So we'll come on to that. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily entirely positive.
No, but, I think it's incredible because it's almost unheard of.
Yeah. So the actual press release that AEW and TNT put out, so the sort of officially out there stuff, is that AEW will go onto TNT and air weekly matches later this year. Yeah,
not shows, matches.
Yeah, and that ties into what we said on Wednesday, where this isn't a show either. They're not saying this is a new TV show that you can catch up with new episodes of The Office.
Yep. Anything more new?
30 Rock.
Yeah, anything more current?
Love Lucy.
Yep. Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah, good shows. Frasier.
Oh, perfect. Brilliant show.
So, like, it's not like new episodes of that. It is a new wrestling league. They're advertising this as a league. So not like a TV show that's all fabricated that you watch. It's like the National Football League.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It's almost like they've acquired the rights. I know they've already got this, but it's like they've acquired the rights to the NBA and they're going to be showing NBA matches on TNT. Mm. What they've acquired is All Elite Wrestling matches that they're going to be airing weekly.
Yeah, which makes sense from those sorts of things. But I've always thought wrestling in the real such a loaded word in these here parts, in the non-predetermined areas, they, like the UFC, you watch the UFC, you don't watch the match. Well, maybe you do watch the matches.
Yeah, I thought you do watch the matches in the UFC. You watch the fights, yeah.
And boxing. But yeah, it's...
But is that going to translate in the sporting world to a sport that is predetermined? Are people going to be as invested in that as they are something like the NBA or UFC or Bellator or things like that, which are real sports and again, real's a bit of a loaded word, but non-predetermined sports. Is it still going to capture that? Or are people going to watch, well, what's the point of this? Like, it's all fake, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Because WWE, the appeal is the storylines, right? It's the soap opera aspect of it.
Yes. But you don't have to have one without the other. Like, I think, and I've always, it's just never been done on a big stage, but I think all of us have always been like, we want all the matches to mean something, whether there's an emotional blood feud, whether there's a title at stake, all those other matches that aren't involved with that, they should be about positioning people within the company. People always say wins and losses should matter. That doesn't necessarily mean everyone gets points you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, like in the best, excuse me, best of the Super Juniors or something. But it doesn't, at least it gives you a grounding. And you can say the wins and losses might not mean something material like points, but it does mean you as a wrestler, you have won these matches. That means you will eventually get a title shot because you've won the most matches.
And surely, I suppose the idea would be that we will become attached to certain wrestlers and then we will want to see those wrestlers. Okay, so Pac's got a match next week. I definitely want to be watching next week because I want to see if he can get enough points or go further in the league or what have you. So it's rather, you do get invested in the wrestlers and on their journeys through their win-loss record to potential title matches, which I think is actually a really interesting idea. And what we essentially do with wrestling anyway, but with WWE, it's got this sort of, not so much the pomp and circumstance, but the storyline, drama, soap opera aspect of it, where you follow certain wrestlers and hope they get put into storylines that you enjoy.
Yeah. One of the big problems with WWE is they think WWE is the reason people watch.
Yeah.
And there is an element of that. But really, most people watch wrestling because they latch on to a character. Stone Cold Steve Austin in the late 90s. The Rock. A very rare example where two people just as big as each other happened at the same time. These days, it's WWE are almost scared to create stars because they're like, oh, they're just going to go to Hollywood. Or we don't want them to be bigger than us.
Yeah.
But weirdly, they're fine to do that with Brock Lesnar, who is quite open about leaving them all the time. It's a weird masochistic relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so hopefully here, because no one says, oh, I can't wait to see that WBO title fight. Very few people think that. I don't even know the names of most of those boxing belts. Mm. But I know I can now not name you a single wrestler.
A wrestler or boxer?
Boxer.
Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, what? Yeah, from two decades ago.
Muhammad Ali.
Conor McGregor.
Superman.
Yeah, so yeah, people will follow characters more than they will companies, I've always thought. So this is a very positive thing. And the quote that keeps coming back to in this statement is, AEW will be focused and offer fans less scripted soapy drama and more athleticism and real sports analytics.
Love it.
Bringing a legitimacy to wrestling that it has not previously had.
It's a totally, as you said earlier, unproven, but I find it very, very interesting. And it's and it is kind of like sort of corporate-y buzzwords and things like that. And it's a very well-written press release. But it is a press release. Press releases are meant to get you excited about things. The whole point of a press release. And this press release does get me excited for the product. This press release has made me more excited for Double or Nothing than the card had. And the card already had me very excited. Because I look at something like the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. And I'm like, well, I'm going to order this pay-per-view regardless anyway. Because I want to see that match. But now with this sort of like sports analytic bringing legitimacy to it, all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I'm just so interested to see what the product is going to look like and how it's going to be presented. I'm fascinated by all of this, and I'm so looking forward to next Saturday to see what it all comes to.
Yeah, because we've seen what Cody and the Bucks' and Omega's vision of wrestling is, and that was all in. And that was a great fan event, I would say. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the New Japan levels of six-star matches that, weirdly, I thought it was going to be. That's my fault, because being the Elite never really suggested that. Mm. They definitely suggested Dick Druids. And I got Dick Druids.
Yeah.
But now we've got Tony Khan, who is the money guy behind all of this. Tony Khan is a numbers guy. Mm. Like, that's a lot. One of his businesses, I believe, is really analytic stuff of where people are on the court in an NBA game. And you almost moneyball sports to get people. You buy people based on their stats rather than their name value.
Yeah.
Which is, I love stats. I'm very much behind this. Yeah. So, yeah, Double or Nothing, I think will be very much different to All In. Because, like you said, that's where we'll start to see the concept. I doubt, you know, we always say here, if we try a new concept, we won't actually know what it is until 3 months into doing it. Hmm. And it's a smart time to start that now, because by the time the weekly TV launches, it'll be a lot more cemented.
Although I would wager, and perhaps this is pure speculation on my part, but All Elite Wrestling is something that Cody, the Bucks, Kenny, Khan family have been working on since October last year. Like, this has been very much sort of, you know, embryonic stages was October last year. It's a show that's probably not going to debut until October this year. So it's a whole year. I would probably wager that they have spent that time not only just negotiating TV deals and international deals and pay-per-views and this and the other, getting building sorted, but also mapping out like 6 months to a year's worth of, here is what we're going to do. Here is, from 2019 through to October 2020, this is what we are going to do. And this is our roadmap of what we're going to do. And I've seen a few people argue that a point system or a league system is nothing new in wrestling. WWE tries to do it. They had the SmackDown top 10.
Come on, what was that based on?
And Impact tried to do it when Eric Bischoff did it. It was like a user-voted thing. But the counter argument to that is that both of those failed because neither company was particularly invested in really doing it. The SmackDown top 10 was done as a, we'll try and spin storylines out of this, but never really had a plan for what that actually meant. Mm. They did it 1 week, then they did it a second week, and then just dropped it completely because they didn't really have a plan of what it was, what it all meant and what it was leading to. And the Impact thing, the problem was they put it into the viewers' hands. And wrestling viewers are just trolls when you put something online. So Boaty McBoatface is a perfect example. We want to call this the Princess Anne. You want to call it Boaty McBoatface. And what you end up with is the people going like, I just want to see Nigel McGuinness each and every week. But Eric Bischoff doesn't want to push Nigel McGuinness. So what you end up with is Nigel McGuinness. They're like, vote for Abyss. Please vote for Abyss. Hulk Hogan has been saying in interviews, he's our John Cena. Vote for Abyss. We just kept voting for Nigel McGuinness, and so they dropped it, because fans can't be trusted. This is something that AEW can control themselves, not put it into the hands of fans who can just troll it online, and then it's a product that they can push themselves, and it's an idea they are dedicated to, as opposed to the SmackDown top 10.
Just to correct you, it was Desmond Wolfe.
Not Nigel McGuinness
in those days. TNA did, or Impact, I can't remember which iteration they were when this happened. They did have a league separate to that. Like, this was later on from that Bischoff one, where it would, you'd get 3 points for a win.
Was it the Grand Championship?
Yeah, it was something. I'm afraid I can't really remember it. But they did, they did stick to it pretty much. But that was only one part of the company, you see. So it was like, oh, this is just a sort of elongated tournament that we've got going.
Bit like the Bound for Glory series.
Yeah, a league. I think it was the Bound for Glory series.
Do you remember the first time they did the Bound for Glory series, but they hadn't actually mapped out all the matches?
Mm.
And so I think like the winner had 14 matches, whereas Scott Steiner, who came towards the bottom, only had 3 matches. This was a very poorly thought out tournament.
So it's never been, what we're trying to say is it's never been properly done as not just like, here's a little tournament that we do every year, and it's in its own little bit to crown a number one contender or whatever.
Or crown the best of the Super Juniors, or crown
or
the other.
Shane McMahon, the best in the world.
Exactly.
This is the whole fundamental, I imagine it as the fundamental concept underpinning the whole product. So that's what the press release kind of said. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. So right now, you might have noticed they didn't say when it's going to start or what day it's going to be on.
No.
We've always said that Tuesday nights makes the most sense because they trademarked Tuesday Night Dynamite last year. And that's also in October. I think the last, the 24th of September is SmackDown's last episode on the USA Network,
mm-hmm.
at which point it moves to Friday nights on Fox. So the everyone's like, okay, so Tuesday Night Dynamite should start on TNT on the 1st of October, and whenever that Tuesday date is.
And you'd think, logically, there's 2 million wrestling fans already predispositioned to know that wrestling is on a Tuesday night, so they're just going to be looking for wrestling on the TV channels.
I mean... I get that argument, and I used to have that thought process myself. But I don't, if something's not on, like I'm usually... I don't just sit there going, where's another channel?
Do you know what?
Where's another channel?
I am totally on your side here. I've never
understood...
I don't think it holds that much water. If I turn on a TV channel and the show that I'm expected to be on is not on, I'm going to go, okay, it's not on then.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put on Netflix.
What else is on?
And then, like, to think...
I'm not going to search for a channel. Like, is there any other wrestling on?
Is that how the world thinks of wrestling viewers? I mean, I thought that... It was only this week when I really started thinking about it that I've gone, I'll just keep flicking until I find something... Not even WWE, but something that looks like WWE. Completely different branding, completely different stars. Okay, here it is. I just sit here and watch that. Like, I don't... So I don't necessarily think that holds water. The reason I like it is because Tuesday Night Dynamite just rolls off the tongue in a way that Wednesday Night Dynamite...
That's it, I suppose.
I don't know. Tuesday Night just seems to... Thursday Night Dynamite.
Tuesday Night just sounds a lot... It sounds very nice. Also, it's like TND. It sounds good. TND on TNT. It's got a nice little catchy ring to it.
Give it a few years. Mm. Monday Night Dynamite. Oh, that worked well last time.
Didn't it just?
So that's, so they don't...
It's on, brother.
Apparently, they don't actually know. That's why it wasn't announced. Warner Media don't know if it's going to go on Tuesday or Wednesdays yet.
No.
They're going to do market research to find out what the... Which is a great idea. Like, just don't go, yeah, let's chuck it on this one because of this... idea that we had as well, that there's just 2 million people sitting there going, where am I wrestling?
Well, you read that all the time. I think you just like, maybe that is real.
Yeah,
it's the same thing as
that's
like,
what I thought.
Oh man, they've changed the time slot. That's why the viewership is down. And I was like, well, so when Impact moved from Wednesday to Thursday, there are all those people tuning in who've been watching it every single Wednesday, and every single Wednesday they've been saying, we're moving to Thursday at this time. And people just, on a Wednesday, be like, huh, but it was here last Wednesday.
Yeah. What is happening?
What has happened?
Yeah, especially now everyone has a phone as well.
The internet is a thing.
Where is WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not on Tuesdays anymore. Then I'm going to the cinema or something. I'm not just going, but what? There must be something else on.
I don't know.
So the problem with Tuesday nights is that TNT airs the NBA. Not all the time, but when it's on. So there's an idea that, and this is what used to happen with WCW, if the NBA was on, you'd just cut down the length of Nitro.
Or preempt it.
Yeah, or start earlier.
Yeah, WWE used to have this one with Raw back in the day with Crufts.
Yes.
And things like that. It used to be preempted by Crufts.
The dog show.
The dog show, yeah.
And the tennis, I believe, once pushed it back weirdly.
Same way, like in the back in the day, that the snooker used to push Buffy the Vampire Slayer off BBC Two, or push it later.
To be fair, though, with the argument of just people sitting there, that's why I like snooker, because I just why isn't Buffy on? I'll just sit here and watch this snooker now.
Snooker, I guess.
And it took like a month of me moaning to go, oh, I quite like this.
You didn't like search through channels.
Where is another vampire show?
In all fairness, though, that was back in the day where there was five to choose from. It would have been very quick you to just get back to BBC Two.
Here's my money, Mr. Murdoch. I had plenty more channels than you did.
No, man. I was a four-channel household up until about 2001 when we got Channel 5.
That was worth it. And then, they've also got another bit in The Observer. AW is currently negotiating television deals in the UK, obviously with ITV4.
Yes.
So that makes sense,
yep.
Given that that's where the Double or Nothing pay-per-view is going through their box office service. And in Canada, apparently Australia and Mexico are being targeted as well. But the US, UK and Canada are their key markets, which all goes back to the stats. Those are the top three markets in the world for English language wrestling.
Yeah, really makes sense.
Of course you should target those.
Like, so Tony Khan also did an interview where he was talking about how they were considering doing UK-friendly pay-per-views. So there would be pay-per-views because of there's an area they're looking to target. So they would do a pay-per-view that would start 8 p.m. UK time, which would
Perfect.
Be 3 p.m. in the East Coast and noon on the West Coast. But I like how Meltzer phrased this in the Wrestling Observer. He's like, Tony Khan did an interview, interestingly, from the ITV offices, where he said, that was very sly by Meltz.
The specifics of the deal, how much money are AEW actually making? Because it looks like, according to The Observer and a bunch of other places, so this seems to be the case, AEW aren't getting a rights fee. So they're not like being paid, oh, we will pay you this much money, owners of Seinfeld.
Yeah, or like WWE is with SmackDown.
Yes.
We are going to pay you these billions of dollars over the next 5 years so we can have SmackDown on our station.
Now, in that, WWE gets the $1 billion from Fox, and that they then have to use that money to put on the shows.
Make the show.
Yeah, so the production costs are in that. Now, here it seems Warner Media are saying, we will cover your production costs, which is estimated to be about $500,000 an episode. So over the course of a year, that's $20 to $30 million.
Yeah.
So if you look at it that way, that's how I'm looking at it. $20 to $30 million is there. That's pretty incredible for a first-time company that hasn't even run a show yet.
No.
And all
they've done is sold T-shirts.
They're just a T-shirt company. And like, we love the Young Bucks, Omega, Cody. We know who they are. The mainstream audience, even like the wrestling audience, which vast majority of WWE fans, aren't very aware of these guys. So this is amazing that they've been able to get that deal anyway. And that's not all. They're also getting a described as great advertising split.
Yeah.
So whatever adverts play in those hours, they get some portion of that revenue.
Yes.
Which, again, is amazing. No one quite knows what that split is. Apparently it's quite complicated. But Meltzer points out that probably leads to them wanting to put on an advertiser-friendly show.
Yeah, one would assume so, because that was one of the issues that WWE ran themselves into during the Attitude Era, was they were trying to push the envelope so much that advertisers started to push back, and so they had to tone down the product.
Yeah.
And really, they were only trying to push the envelope more and more and more, because that's the way society was going at the time with Jerry Springer and South Park and things like that. But Eric Bischoff was the one, he kept saying in interviews, that bubble will burst and people will go back to doing what we're doing, which is a more family-friendly, more advertiser-friendly product. And eventually WWE did have to go back down that route, which is why we now have a PG product, because they got really good money deals with likes of Snickers and Mountain Dew, that gross green toxic waste that they serve on a weekly basis. So I kind of unsurprising that AEW will go down this route as well. It's very surprising they signed Jimmy Havoc, but you know. I'm unsurprised they are going down the sort of advertiser-friendly route.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know that.
That would make sense if they've got this advertising split in place. The other thing is, the belief within the company is this deal will allow them to be profitable, so making money, not just covering costs, but making money by 2020.
Which is next year.
It's next year.
Yeah. And bearing in mind that Impact, or TNA, has only had one profitable year in its entire existence.
Mm.
And that was, I think it was with the Joe Angle cage match.
Yeah.
So to be profitable within your first year, with all of these big money deals that you're doing as well, Jericho saying that's the biggest money offer he's ever had, that's incredible. That is astounding.
If any other wrestling promotion did this, if TN, if Impact said this, if Ring of Honor said this, I would sit back and go, sure.
Yeah, sure, mate. Yeah.
But
I was maybe more impressed with beard. Yeah. Beard.
But this is run by the Khans. Tony Khan is a stats man.
Yeah.
They have a business empire. I feel confident in their business strategy.
Yeah.
Because they're numbers people. They're not people who are just like, I'm in the wrestling business now, Dad.
Yeah.
Give me money.
Or rather, it was more a case of, we need to distract Dixie Carter from getting involved in Panda Energy. Give her the wrestling thing and she could just go away and do that instead.
And what really astounds me, I always thought that, remember, the Khan family are multiple times richer than the McMahon family. But you know, by $5 billion, much more rich, much richer. And I always thought, yeah, but you know, that first couple of years is probably going to be loss making because they've got, you know, to cover the production costs and production costs are paid for. So that means they've got even more money in my head to spend on other things like CM Punk and just put on. Yet, and you look at the XFL, Vince McMahon's deal there, he's already put aside hundreds of millions of dollars to just lose. And that's not going to be a profitable company in their own business plan for like 2 to 3 years, reportedly.
Yeah, because he's paying for it to go onto ABC. I believe that's what I read. That it's a case of, they have not bought the rights to it. He is paying for those time slots.
But I think they're covering production.
They are
costs.
Covering, yes. But it's always like almost like a split. So it's like, I'm going to pay for this if you cover this.
Yeah. It's kind of similar deal to AEW. But the difference is WWE took forever to get those rights fees, to get paid to put their television on, to put their product on television. And even back in the day in the territories, Vince McMahon went round local television stations and saying, here's money, I'll pay you to put WWF on in place of whatever your local territory promotion is. And that's how he helped kill the territory system. So, yeah, well, I think we said this the other week, for people to say, yeah, but, you know, it's not a very good deal. When WWE started out, they were in a much worse state than this.
Yeah.
So it's a...
I mean, to be honest, when those reports came out, I think it was the rap that said that AEW reportedly could be paying to get onto TNT. My first thought was, smart move.
Yeah.
What a brilliant business strategy that is. Because, yeah, you're then getting into a prime time position. And if you've got the money infrastructure to back that up, that's a very good idea.
Yeah. The other thing, we talked about it with production costs. Now, of course, production costs being covered, that's great, isn't it? WWE don't have their production costs covered.
It costs about $1 million to put on an episode of Raw and SmackDown.
It's about 400,000 now. They don't do pyro. But that sounds like, you know, one deal's worse off, that WWE have to pay for their own production. Apparently, from what Meltzer was saying, that's actually the preferred thing to do. Because if you're paying for production, you have control over production. Mm. You can put on the product. You've got more creative control to make the product you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the last thing anyone wants is for the TV networks to dictate what your product looks like to that extent.
Yeah, very true.
So, yeah, it's interesting that Warner Media will have control of the production costs.
Yeah.
So I guess that the fear is AEW isn't rating that well. If it doesn't in the first 6 months, okay, let's start to claw back some money. We won't pay that much for the production. But then on the flip side, the Khans have got money.
Yes.
They can just make up that shortfall. So I don't actually see that as a bad thing either.
And on the subject of ratings, there's almost like this idea that a few people have got, like, that I saw this on the Wrestling Observer boards, which was just like, I mean, if this show is not doing 1.5 million viewers or something like that, then it's a complete failure. Or it's doing 1 million viewers, is a complete failure. Meltzer's argument is that apparently what TNT are looking for and what AEW expect is an average of 500,000 viewers for like its first few months. And like that's what they're looking for as their jumping off point. It's 500,000 viewers as our jumping off point, and we'll grow from there. So it's anything less than that, I think, will be seen as a bit of a disappointment. But yeah, if it comes out and again, 750,000, then that's going to be like celebratory time at the AEW head office.
Yeah, it's that fills me with so much confidence, because you hear stuff like this company will be profitable by 2020. Although I trust them, that's a bold statement. But then to hear that they've got that's a conservative number, I would say. 500,000 people for the first few months. Like, that's a good expectation to have.
Yeah.
And if that's where their starting numbers are, you've got to think that they're being sensible about their projections.
That's around 40% of what TNT would average. Because I think you got it written here. They average 1.17 million viewers in primetime in 2018.
Mm.
So they're expecting around 40% of that.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's good sort of like, let's lowball it. And if you have your expectations low, you'll always succeed them.
Exactly.
In theory.
In terms of the WWE war, I suppose, TNT averages what you just said, 1.17 million viewers. USA only beats Raw in the overall averages.
Only beats.
USA only beats TNT in the overall averages because they're roughly in the same amount of homes, around 90 million homes. Because of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Those ratings bring up the averages.
That is my favorite thing about Raw and SmackDown on the USA Network and sort of like Raw and SmackDown in general. Even now when we're talking about, God, their ratings are at the lowest they've been. This is like absolutely disastrous ratings. It's still higher than most things that are on USA Network anyway. So they drastically bring up the channel average.
Be interesting to see that climate come October when SmackDown brings up that average, but SmackDown's going to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose half of your average bringing her upper thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you actually end up splitting your benefits rather than hedging your bets.
And this is WWE's, the sort of like this, the boat they found themselves in already before they've even gone to Fox, where they're already serving two masters, introducing the wild card and sort of sharing this roster. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday that was talking about Roman Reigns and being like, the problem now is that Roman Reigns is going to be on both shows. And the problem that people had with Roman Reigns 2 years ago is that he was overexposed. And so really, having him on both shows, because that's what USA and Fox want, is only going to overexpose Roman and just bring back all the negativity that he had a couple of years ago. And all that goodwill from the leukemia stuff will just...
Yes.
Go by the wayside.
Yeah, I think it's already starting to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately. So
Meltzer had an interesting speculation on what WWE's response could be. How do WWE react to this? What is their next play? And I guess they can't really make a play until they know what night AEW is going to be on. But WWE, I believe, most definitely will do something in response, maybe not directly, but definitely indirectly. If they're, like you said last week, if they're that concerned about stardom matches, that like and Tony Storm versus, who was it? No, it was Rhea Ripley.
Oh, no, it was Bea Priestley versus Tony Storm.
To get that match pulled because it's an AEW person versus a WWE person.
Tony Storm will have to lose.
Yeah. Like, of course this is going to be a big thing in their bonnet.
WWE offered to double Rhino's salary so that he would stay with WWE. Rhino, someone they don't even put on TV. For those people that are saying, WWE aren't worried about AEW, them offering Rhino double his salary for him to re-sign with, I think that speaks so much louder than pretty much anything that's been reported.
That is a canary.
And that is not speculation. That's Rhino saying himself, I was offered double what I was earning, double my downside guarantee. But I didn't want to take it because I wanted to go elsewhere. I want to work in the indies and help young guys. So that's Rhino's words. So WWE are almost in a panic mode of trying to like keep everyone they've got. Their already bloated roster that's only going to be more bloated now.
So Meltzer speculated that one response could be, and this has been talked about before as well, bringing NXT to FS1 on a Wednesday or Tuesday night.
Yeah, as competition.
To compete with AEW.
Which
is, you know, what would... That those are the most similar markets there.
Yeah.
NXT,
it's competing for
Smart
the same
Crowd.
Audience.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you got to do is become one of our pledge hammers on Patreon and leave a comment in the community tab where I will pick them up. Do not email me. I will lose them. I'm not very good at this. Pledge hammer. This comes in from the Aussie Experience Dave Humphreys, who says, question for you both. Do you think that WWE is doing what they did to Neville on Sasha Banks, since she was to pull out until her contract and the 90-day non-compete clause that they have done to prevent her signing with anyone, not just AEW? I believe that's the report, yes. Yeah, so they're just going to possibly just keep extending her contract. It's what they've done to Luke Harper. It's what they've done to Dash Wilder of the Revival as well. They've added an extra 3 months onto his contract.
Yeah, I don't know how those work because I don't agree with, oh, you were injured, so we're just going to add that time you missed onto your contract. I don't agree with that, but I can see the legal argument behind it.
Yeah.
But to just say, oh, we're not using you, so we're going to add the time we're not using you onto your contract and freeze it. That sounds like shady. Just like that does not. That sounds so horribly capitalistic.
Oh yeah,
and the wrong way to do things.
Oh, 100% sounds like the wrong way to have it.
I can't even believe that's a rule.
Thing that I know.
So yeah, but that's kind of similar to what happened with Rey Mysterio. But I always thought that was more linked to the injuries.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We don't know is the honest answer really on that one. Ira Kalee, that's a different one to say. Who are the most underrated and overrated wrestlers?
It's difficult, isn't it? I would say underrated Cesaro. Like in terms of, I think he could be a solid upper mid-card guy who occasionally dips into the main event.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
And I just think he's amazing, and he gets over in every match he has.
Yeah, no, Cesaro I think is a definitely good shout. If I'm looking at the independent scene, I'm thinking of someone like a Rampage Brown. I think someone who has not been underrated because he's just been like, I think he is always, everyone said, yeah, he's one of the best indie guys. Like, it's amazing those progress interviews we had on the podcast feed. Louis Dangor asked everyone, who do you think is the most, you know, underappreciated guy? And they were like, Rampage Brown.
He's
the best wrestler on the British independent scene, but unfortunately has never been given that chance to go onto a big American or North American stage.
Yeah, of course we know him from WS, like he was the champion there, but yeah. Worldwide. Overrated? Baron?
I was going to say...
But I feel like he's over-pushed. He's an amazing wrestler.
No.
But over-pushed, definitely. To be on three segments... at the Raw live event.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think, and I stand by this, I think he is a guy that gets good heat when he does promos, but no one cares about his matches. Mm-hmm. I think the crowd die a death during matches. Mr. One, do we want to do this? Because it is an Endgame spoiler. Do we want to do like a big sort of spoiler warning for Endgame?
Can you say it without doing the spoiler?
Have a read through. A lot of people think it's me. Okay, well, okay. It features an iconic moment.
Yes.
Iconic. Which got me thinking, has WWE done a similar moment? Wrestlers stealing each other's signature moves frequently, but has there been one that has been super built up like this iconic moment? If not, fantasy book said moment.
Mm. I was thinking about this. So wrestlers that have used another wrestler's move, and that feels like a huge deal because it's been built up a lot. Surely Ciampa and Gargano have done this.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire Attitude Era was full of people using other people's finishes.
It became a running... To be honest, it was a part of one of the SmackDown guys. I think it was SmackDown 2. Mm. Like, that was the new gimmick they introduced in that, as you could do your opponent's finishing move to them, because it was done at every single pay-per-view.
Did Triple H hit the tombstone on Undertaker and then do the pin in the first match? That's my one then.
Yeah. Mine would be it's nowhere near the same level as that.
Sorry, first, second match. I mean.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I just remembered.
Mine's nowhere near on the same level as yours, but for me it was like a big sort of popping moment that made me just like literally jump out of my seat and be like, I'll never forget this. It was the Triple Threat tag team match at NXT TakeOver Orlando, which was when DIY and The Revival started to do each other's finishing moves, but it was like Ciampa and Dash Wilder would do the Shatter Machine, and Gargano and Scott Dawson did the meet in the middle kick.
Was it on AOP?
AOP, yeah.
Oh, that's more in line with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Because it's like a big, two warring teams coming together to fight this big unstoppable monster. Good. Such a great match. Jesse James asks, sorry to hear that you hated my idea that won this fantasy month's fantasy book in Warfare. I do, however, believe that my idea was poorly conveyed due to the small amount of characters given for the poll. Anyway, at the time, rumours were Vince may also leave to spend time in the XFL, and my idea was to fantasy book writing him off TV and somewhat blaming him for the bad ratings. The way I thought it would give possibilities for numerous storylines, but everyone took it as an invasion angle. Feel free to skip it for the next one. Hopefully I didn't ruin anyone's fun in the future. It didn't ruin fun. It's just it's a storyline that I, even with Vince being sort of voted out of the company or like being blamed for my reigns, it's a storyline that doesn't inspire me to write anything about. It's not a slight on you. It's just it doesn't inspire me. It's a slight on me, really.
I feel because we've been just saying, oh God, I can't be bothered to do another invasion angle for all this time. And I kind of forgot that someone actually suggested that.
Yeah.
So sorry, Jesse.
Sorry, that is that's very bad on our part.
But even if your idea was longer with blaming him for the bad ratings, I have got no interest ever in a wrestling promotion addressing their own products being bad. Here's the bad ratings. Now it's time for a revamp. Like I just, ugh. Yeah. And the fact that WWE have done that on a biannual basis, it feels like, just makes it even more tired.
And I hate to harp on, I feel like I really do bury the Impact product when it was Hogan Bischoff era. But it was terrible, and it really upset me because I was a diehard TNA guy and I wanted to see them succeed, and they just ran it into the ground. But remember, they had this show that it would air after on Spike that was sort of like a reality version of TNA. And remember Hogan cutting this promo where he's like, problem is that all these kids think that, oh, I've won X amount of fake belts. So I've wrestled. It's like, no one cares. It's not real, brother. And I'm like, why are we doing this? Why are we sitting there saying none of this matters? Because if you watch that, if you're a new fan, you watch it at TNA and you're like, oh, mate, I'll get to see what they're going to say on this after show thing. And then you've got the guy who's running the promotion go like, none of this matters. You're like, well, cool. But I guess I shouldn't watch anything else then. GG Baxter, who I'm going to personally apologise to because I got his name wrong in the news once. I've always read it as CG Baxter. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. It's clearly GG.
I know. I don't know why I've always read it as CG Baxter on Twitter. Anyway,
Computer hi guys. Generated, Baxter.
Exactly. Hi guys, new to the Patreon here, but a long time viewer. Hopefully Luke can get my name right this time. I did. Anyway, I have a question. What do you guys think we should expect from Double or Nothing? Should be looking at the pay-per-view for clues on what the style of the product and weekly programming will be, or do you expect something more like All In and just a celebration of what is good in wrestling with the storylines and style of the product nailed down much nearer to October? And if you will forgive me for a part two, do you think AEW goes head-to-head with WWE in producing a PG-era product only better, or hold strong to its indie roots and answer the question of if an indie promotion had a larger reach, would it be more popular than the current kid-friendly WWE programming? I should state as well, to answer the first point, I think we should be looking at Double or Nothing for clues.
Yeah,
I don't think this is going to be like All In.
No.
No, that's my personal.
We kind of covered that in the start bit, yeah, with Tony Khan's influence being more sports and numbers-based.
But you can still do a hardcore fan product in a PG environment. NXT is a PG product. I think a lot of people tend to forget this. They think like, oh, PG is killing WWE. But NXT is a PG product. And no one cares, no one says that's a bad product.
Yeah.
And that caters to hardcore wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. So it can easily be done in a PG environment.
Yeah, well, I think people confuse PG with bad.
Kiddie.
WWE is bad. It's not even like a good kid-friendly product because they still do loads of stuff that's grossly inappropriate.
Yeah. And they say bitch a lot.
Yeah. So it's just that WWE's main roster is just a bad product. NXT, there's really nothing to do with PG there. If it wasn't PG, it would be a bad non-PG product.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and yeah, the example of NXT is perfect.
Yeah. Diz Frazada Rodrigo says, I was debating whether to get last-minute tickets to a WWE live event this week, and in the end it was too much hassle, but it did make me think. If WWE runs separate Raws and SmackDown live events in the States, does this not mean that if you go to a SmackDown house show on a Monday, you're missing three top guys? And this could really harm the live circuit, which in the long run would cause massive issues. Keep up the fantastic work and love everything you do, except for Randy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what a lot of initial reports when the wild card rule was announced said.
Yeah.
That it's really going to have a negative effect long term on the live events business. And there'd be even more false advertising than usual.
Yeah.
Because WWE presumably don't know who the wild cards are going to be before, like a couple of days before, when you advertise these shows months in advance.
The reports from the O2 this past week for the Raw and SmackDown tapings, and actually this has been sort of like prevalent for the last couple of years, have been saying that they look less and less full as each year passes, and they've completely taped off the top area now, and house shows I don't think have been doing particularly well on the European tours either. And I would wager, I went to a house show 3 years ago. It's before Finn Balor had been called up, if that to put a time frame into things. And they were heavily advertising John Cena on the posters. And all of the merchandise was John Cena based. John Cena was never at that show. He was never going to be at that show. And I saw so many kids and parents there with their John Cena t-shirts. And when the last match started and it was Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose, and they realized that Cena's not going to be there, they got up and left. Mm. And I thought to myself, they're not going to be there next year.
Yeah.
And the following year, once again, John Cena's on the posters, John Cena's on all the merchandise, John Cena's not there. And I think doing that damages, and it just damages your reputation. And now if you're going to start advertising Roman Reigns is going to be at this SmackDown house show event, but he's actually at Raw because we need him on both shows, and there's all these kids who've gone there to see their hero Roman Reigns, surely that's then going to be like, well, I'm not going to pay $60 again to go see a show where the guy who's advertised isn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree.
Evie Duran says, hi, Luke, Laurie, Pete, housemate Simon and Ollie. Been watching you guys since the beginning of the Wrestle Ramble back when it was the Wrestle Talk show. I like how much it pains you.
Why did we call it that?
Because we sat down.
That Wrestle Talk show.
We sat down and then before we pressed record, I was like, oh, we haven't got a name for this.
We'll think, not like us.
We'll think about that later. Anyway, I recently just launched my own Patreon page. I wanted to know if you guys had any tips on how to make it, quote, successful launch post-launch. Thanks, guys.
Patreon. You're the Patreon man.
Giving extra content, I think, is a good driver for Patreon. That's what we started doing. We started doing one extra podcast, then launched a second one off the back of that. I think the more extra stuff you give people, make it worth their while. I know for me, I backed Talking Simpsons at the at a $5 level because I just wanted to get the shows a week early because I was really enjoying the content that they put out. So I backed at the $5 level because I can hear the shows a week early and ad free. I was like, brilliant, that's lovely. And then when they started doing, they then launched a new podcast reviewing animated movies for like 3.5 hours, 4 hours. And I was like, and the first one they did to turn me around to it was a Goofy movie. And I was going on a 3.5 hour drive. I was like,
great movie.
And I was like, I'm actually going to up my pledge to $10 and listen to this podcast on this drive because it's a 3.5 hour drive. It's a 3.5 hour podcast. Thumbs up. They do really good stuff. And I've stuck at that $10 level since because I've been enjoying all the other stuff they've been doing at that level. So yeah, as long as you back it up, which I hope, I like to think that we do.
We try.
We certainly try. And also just sort of keep at it. Don't give up on it is the other key to it.
Consistency.
Even if it's not successful after, like, you know, the first couple of months, you just got to keep at it.
Yeah. Reassess, tweak, see what people want.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Robert Ray asks, what is your favorite wrestling conspiracy theory which you've either made up or heard? I have two. I thought Rock Cena 1 was not going to happen because it was the first match that I could remember that I could not see anyone losing. And remember that WrestleMania was April 1st, which I thought WWE would do an April Fool's joke with. Now looking back, that was a silly thing to think. Second, I heard that Vince McMahon's character on TV is not the real Vince, and the real Vince has never been seen. I know it's not true, but how crazy some Vince stories are, and I'd be shocked if it is true.
Yeah, I don't think either of those are true.
No.
Well, the first one is demonstrably not true.
Yeah.
Because it happened.
It did happen, yeah.
My favourite one recently is Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
Being a big Dean Ambrose WWE work.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
My favourite, I'm not going to name who it's from. But they think that a certain star is going through some financial troubles, and that's why they're doing certain things.
Mm.
Yeah. We won't go into that because I think it's a fun little conspiracy theory, but we won't go into it. Reese Degnan says, while he won't be at Double or Nothing due to be booked for London Comic Con, bonus question, will any of the WrestleTalk be at the convention? Could we see Stephen Amell in AEW? He brings mainstream star power, has a level of training, and notably is on good terms with Cody. Seems odd how little I've heard his name be mentioned in connection with the company.
I think that's probably because of the... They want to make a sports-based product, and All In was more of a fun celebration of wrestling. Here's a celebrity match. But you can't really get away with celebrity matches, definitely at the start, if you want to have a serious product. So I would say that's probably why they've gone away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they are all really good friends. And plus, I don't really think Stephen Amell is a big draw in 2019. Seems like a great guy.
Yeah, I don't know how well Arrow does or like the Flarrowverse does for ratings on the CW.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's as popular as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was definitely more popular 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, there's one last question. This comes in from Matthew, who says, hey guys, I like everyone else, loves Brave 4.0, but worry that the act will have a limited shelf life. Fans of the horror genre will appreciate the aesthetic of the look, but is it perhaps too intense for younger WWE's audience, for the younger audience? My nephew is 6 and not up that late, but I suspect my parents will not want their kid seeing that before bed. Would love to hear your thoughts. All the best, lads.
Yeah, it is creepy. Yeah. But I don't know if it's so creepy that I wouldn't force a kid to watch it.
Is it no less creepy? I suppose it is probably creepier than The Undertaker, seeing how The Undertaker is now.
It's definitely a more terrifying mask design.
Yeah.
Like, that is just unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's got a shelf life, I think, is an interesting question, though, because I think that really does depend on how it's presented when we get to an in-ring version of this. Because these last 4 weeks, these last, you know, 6-8 weeks have been tremendous. And I've very much enjoyed all the build, and I've loved the Firefly Funhouse segment. Loved it so much, been seeing it twice, you know, on Raw and SmackDown.
New episode,
quote unquote. But... this all depends on how it comes out as a in-ring product. Because if it just ends up being Bray wrestling like Bray did previously, then that's going to die out very quickly. Because it's like, oh, but so it's just Bray Wyatt, but he's wearing different clothes now. It's the Malibu Stacy. She's got a new hat. We're going to need to see something. I want to see something really interesting from this. But I don't know what to expect from this. So I'm actually looking to WWE to kind of surprise me almost. I'm just like, I've got an open mind with this and just being like, show me what you've got.
I feel like we'll see it on Monday, on Monday's episode of Raw after Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've done the cycle. They've done 8 weeks of promotion now of this. I feel like now's the time they're going to put him in the ring.
Yeah.
And it makes sense after this pay-per-view cycle. So we'll find out.
Got a Rusev Hay here from Frank, which we've been meaning to read out all week. Frank, you may remember, he emailed us in over the Christmas period because he wasn't very well. He said that he's now on the road to recovery, and thank you for all of the well wishes. He also said to trim this down. He's got two Rusev Hays. This past winter, WWE did a Raw in Miami, and that was the week before Ronda Rousey's first ever match, and the night Brock said that he wanted his steak medium well for reference. Hmm. On the way out of the arena, my girls and I saw Alicia Fox walking down the street a couple of blocks up. She was wearing a large hat and coat. Of course she was. It's a gimmick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Living the gimmick, brother.
Not the sort of captain's hat that she wore for Survivor Series.
Well, I mean, he doesn't state, but I'm going to assume that, yes, it was.
Do you remember where she just had leaves in her hair for a while?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Remember when she was back on TV just a couple of weeks ago?
And she lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Cedric Alexander as well on that note?
He got beaten by Cesaro.
Where's Buddy Murphy?
Yeah. Just yeah. Also beaten by Cesaro.
So glad they took him off 205 Live.
Yeah.
It was so worthwhile. Anyway, she was covering up to hide who she was, but I caught her and we talked for a minute as we walked to my car and wherever she was headed. And no one noticed. She was really nice and thanked us for not pointing her out and amongst the rest of the fans who were filing out. We're on the side road, not too foot trafficked, but still. The second one, which I'll include a couple of photos for, is took on that day. It was in Tampa, I believe 2 years ago at a charity event. We drove all the way up there to get the photos. Miami to Tampa, which is about a 5-hour drive.
Oof.
We met Terry and Dory Funk. Terry was quite sick, but came anyway, and it was amazing. Roman, who was cool, but his personal WWE provided security guy was rude and an ass. Dean Malenko, who acted shocked that I knew who he was, but he's the Iceman.
Aww.
I think maybe the younger fans are stupid. Kofi, who joked with me that the lines are gone and took my photo with my kid. And Tito Santana, who wasn't like Virgil, but instead on signing something for me, and I felt all or insisted on signing something for me, and I felt awkward about it. All I wanted was a photo, but ironically, he didn't want me to take one with him, and I don't know why. Huh. Jimmy Hart worked the door as a greeter, and I lost on several silent auctions for J.J. Dillon's book and donated stuff. So he's got some photos here of the event, which I'm just trying to load up now. Here we go. So we've got lots of photos of Frank here. So that's Frank with...
Oh, holla holla player.
Holla holla Teddy Long. We've also got one with Gangrel.
Gangrel, nice.
Keeping up the gimmick. There he is with Jason Mewes from Clerks.
He's not a wrestler.
There is
Blue Pants.
Blue Pants from NXT fame. That is the Green Ranger from Power
Jason
Rangers.
Jason Frank is his name.
Yep. And that's Paige there, and you're dressed up in Star Trek gear. And there's you with Natalia.
Where did you get the Star Trek?
Is that a costume change at some point here?
He's had several costume changes.
Yeah, there's Jake the Snake. And that's
these
actually,
are all from different periods.
And that was actually, that was email one. Here are the second batch of the photos.
Wow.
And we've got...
This is just every person you've ever met.
Diamond Dallas Page. Nice. We've got Mick Foley. We've got Kevin Nash. We have got...
Oh, I know that's Dan Harmon, the creator of Community and Rick and Morty.
That's why I don't know that then.
You're not smart enough to get Rick and Morty.
And there's Roman Reigns. And we've also got the APA there. Look how happy John Bradshaw Layfield is in that photo. And that is Brian O'Halloran and Marion. I've forgotten her name now. But she plays the girlfriend in Clerks as well. So nice little Clerks reunion there in a row. And there's you with the Nasty Boys. And I'm guessing that's a Star Trek one.
No, that is someone. But don't let Star Trek confuse you, because Frank was also wearing a Star Trek outfit for the Page photo.
Mm.
So I think this is just a day he wore Star Trek stuff.
Maybe.
Oh, I recognise her face.
I tell you what it is. It's Joey Lauren Adams from Chasing Amy.
Yes, that's her face.
That's her face. Well, congratulations to you and all those famous people that you have met. That's all we've got time for.
That's great podcast content.
Wasn't it just?
Ollie and Luke looking at pictures.
It's one of my favourite segments. I love it. Thank you all for your correspondence.
Maybe it should be a segment.
What, Luke and Ollie look at photos?
Where people send us in a picture and we'll just try and describe it as best we can.
Don't encourage that. My inbox is going to be flooded now with this. Do you remember when we first started doing emails to the podcast and people were just sending me Robert Roode emails? or pictures of Bobby Roode.
Don't
or...
send Roode emails.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, send people send Roode emails. Very, very funny for a couple
witty.
Of weeks.
Bodie McBoatface. It's the internet. Ask the internet, they will provide you with the opposite.
Hey, it is Money in the Bank tomorrow night, folks. And if you're at a loose end while you're watching the show, why not watch it along with the Wrestle Talk boys of Luke and Laurie, where we're going to be live reacting to the show. We're going to be chatting with fans in the super chats and the chats on YouTube and stuff. Randy Datsun's going to be here as well, but I don't think he'll be on camera. He was kind of angling.
Be in spirit.
He was kind of angling to get on camera a little bit, but... Yeah, I think he's got to take notes and stuff. And we're going to be live streaming it, so head on over to YouTube and join us there. We're going to be doing the Wrestle Ramble after that. We're very much looking forward to it. And then we'll be back on Monday, I suppose, with the Man in the Bank review.
With
and,
me.
Yeah, with you. No, you won't be with you. It'll be me and Laurie.
I'm doing the video.
You're doing the video. I was talking about Wrestle Ramble.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
There are people who don't watch the YouTube videos. They don't watch the videos.
Sorry, these are the Podswafters.
Podswafters. And then we'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review as per usual. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed all the bonus podcasts we've released this week. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.